Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany comes from our Gospel reading of Luke. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Let's follow the text. We like to think that there's some great secret that must be uncovered when it comes to serving your neighbor. We act as if loving one another is a giant mystery that must be unveiled. But let's be honest with ourselves. There really is no mystery, is there? That isn't to say that we necessarily like the things that our Lord tells us today in our text, in our gospel reading. And that isn't to say that we don't cringe when we hear these words and these commands of our Lord, but they certainly aren't confusing. Not in the way that they don't make any sense. They make sense. We just don't like that they make sense. Jesus lays out for us the golden rule. We've all heard it before. We could all probably just say it right now verbatim. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Parents, they teach this to their children. Children, they learn this from their parents and their grandparents, from their teachers and from their Sunday school teachers. And this makes sense. The law always does make sense. In fact, the law must do that. A plus B will equal C. There's no mystery to the law. It will always be straightforward like that. If you would wish that your neighbor is kind to you and loving to you, then first you must be kind and loving to them, even if they are a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Perhaps they will return in kind. Maybe they won't. It doesn't matter. There's no quid pro quo here when it comes to this command from our Lord. He doesn't say, if your neighbor is kind to you, then you should also be kind to them. Instead, he says, be kind to your neighbor. Love him. Serve him. End of story. No matter how he treats you. And our Lord goes one step further. He says that you're to do good, not just to your neighbor, not just to the guy who you like, not to just to your friends and your loved ones, but to your enemies. And again, we may not like this, but let's not pretend that what he's saying is a mystery. Let's not excuse our bad behavior and our hatred and our malice and our sin because we pretend that we don't understand what he's trying to tell us. We understand it just fine. We just don't like it. And really, if truth be told, we disagree with him. The law shows us what love looks like. It's very plain and very simple. It looks like service. It looks like bending over backwards for the good of the person next to you. It looks like receiving the slap on the cheek and then turning the other one, not raising a fist in return. If you want to know what loving your neighbor looks like, you don't really have to go any further than the law. And the law says that you should love them and serve them and do good to everyone. You don't get to pick and choose who your neighbor is. He stands in front of you. That's the one who's your neighbor. And it doesn't matter if he stands in front of you, extending that hand of fellowship or extending a fist to punch you in the nose. He's your neighbor. And you're called to do good. And when you are able to do good to your neighbor, Jesus reminds us that this isn't an opportunity for us to go around bragging about our good deeds, especially when the good deeds are done to those who we actually like and love. You're proud that you love those who love you. How hard's that? Even the heathens do that. And you throw a parade when you manage to scratch out just a little bit of good for those who have first done good to you. Well done. Even the sinners do that. And you want a pat on the back for giving to those who will only return in full back to you. Congratulations. Even the most rotten of the rotten expect the same thing. No, the Christian's call is to something higher than all of that. Find the guy who hates you. You know who they are. Yeah, that one. Now love them. Seek out the one who mutters curses under their breath about you. Goodness, even the one who says these things out loud in public about you. Find that one and bless him. Lift up in prayer to your heavenly Father the person who abuses you to no end. But don't let your prayer be the one that seeks their destruction, but instead seeks their ultimate good. And the one who just stole your silverware, give him the candlesticks too. And the one who's crossed you for the 490th time, get ready for the 491st. This is who you're called to be. This is what you're called to do. It's the higher good, the loving purpose of the Christian. Do all of this, and then maybe you would actually have something to boast about. But the Christian would never boast about this. He'll do all of this in secret. So there it is. Easy as pie. And there's no great mystery in any of this. Don't pretend that there is. Instead, recognize that when we all fail, when we fail to do what God has actually called us to do, it's because we're a bunch of poor, miserable sinners. And we would rather receive than give. We would rather dole out judgment than mercy. We would rather see our enemy suffer than bless him. Recognize and admit that you can't even love the ones who love you, let alone those who hate you. Fall on your face before the Lord, who demands all of these things from you, and confess that the golden rule that you live by is do unto others as they deserve, and then expect to be treated better than you deserve. And that's the real problem with this golden rule that Jesus lays out in front of us. The real, actual one. It's impossible for you to fulfill. Especially because Jesus speaks elsewhere about how in order to fulfill the law, you must not only be able to fulfill it with your hands, but also with your head and your heart too. You have to serve your neighbor without muttering under your breath how much you hate him. And you must do good to your enemy in joy, not in spite, not with gritted teeth, not with the hopes that one day he'll turn his life around and stop treating you like garbage. Let's be honest, he probably won't. And so you're called to love him and serve him because that's what is good to do. And I haven't even gotten to the most difficult part of it all, because Jesus is not just talking to the average Joe out there. I mean, he is, but more specifically, more precisely, he's speaking of the church, of the Christian. And he's saying that all of this enemy stuff and persecution stuff and reviling and cursing and abusing and cheek-smacking and begging and stealing stuff is going to happen to you because you're a Christian, because you are of the church. It will happen from without, and it will happen from within. Because of the fact that you are a Christian, the Lord promises that you will be hated at best and martyred at worst. And all the while, as you're receiving this hatred and this martyrdom and everything in between, you are called to be a blessing. That's what should be on your lips for all of those who are doing you evil. Don't lift the fist. Don't let your tongue speak evil or your mind start spinning out of control. But instead, love and serve and do good works, and do so joyfully. Now, I don't know about you, but when it's all laid out there like that, in that sort of way, I start to despair. Because I know how far out of reach this law of loving my enemy really is. And yet it doesn't matter if the bar is too high or the bridge is too far. My Lord declares that I must jump over it and I must drive all the way across it. But I can't. And more precisely, I won't, even if I could. But the law lends no pardon for those who can't or won't fulfill its demands. And all it has is judgment and punishment. Fulfill the law or suffer the consequences. But when the law comes and it becomes this daunting, when it accuses you to no end with your pitiful attempts at fulfilling it and your barely half-hearted service to your neighbor, let alone to your enemy, when it comes killing and damning and heaping and wrathing, don't go looking for it to bring you comfort. It won't. In fact, don't really ever expect God's law to do anything other than accuse you, because it will always do that. It will always accuse and it will always kill. Instead, look to the one who is speaking these actual words in our text for today. It's funny, isn't it, that when Jesus speaks the law like he does in our text for today, that it takes us an eternity to figure out that he's talking about himself. Just picture in your mind's eye, if you will, all that you know about your Lord, and then run through this love your enemy text that we have for today with only Jesus and his cross in mind. Love your enemies. What greater love than this, than a man lay down his life? Do good to those who hate you. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, he did not open up his mouth. Bless those who curse you. Peter, you will deny me 3 times this night, but I will restore you once again and you will feed my sheep. Pray for those who abuse you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn the other cheek. Nails and spears, flogging and crown, each one of his cheeks was turned multiple times. Do not withhold your tunic. Shamefully naked as the day he was born, he was strung up on that cross. Give to everyone who begs from you. Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. O wonder of all wonders, wouldn't you know it, Jesus has come and done it all again. In our text for today, Christ speaks the law that only he can fulfill. The demands are still there, and they're still made of us. Of course they are. They always will be. But he does know us too well, and he knows our selfishness and knows our weakness. More than that, he knows our sin. He doesn't take away the expectations, though. Jesus never does that. Be perfect, he says. Love your enemy. Serve your neighbor. Repay evil with good. Do all of that, dear Christian, for that's who you are. But he does take away that wrath and the threats and the punishment because he has taken away your sin. That's why he knows your sin, because he's made it his own. You want to know what a sinner looks like? Just look at the cross and you'll see the greatest sinner of all time, because each and every single sin of all of us is upon him. But on that cross, you'll also see the greatest servant of all time, too. And with sin gone, so goes wrath. And with the fear of punishment abated, so also melts away the anger and the bitterness that we have for others, because we can now see them as poor, miserable souls who don't know the love of Christ and his forgiveness of the cross. And then how could a Christian not want to love his enemy in the same way that Jesus loved him? How could a Christian not turn the other cheeks in the hopes that the enemy will know the forgiveness that Jesus has for him? How could a Christian not desire to do only good works for those who do evil, because he knows that, except for the grace of God, there go I? And then, wouldn't you know it, service towards your neighbor, even service toward your enemy, becomes a joy in Christ. And dare I say it, even something that the Christian can look forward to and encourage for his brother and sister, because it's no longer a have to, but it's a matter of free to, and get to, and would love to. And even when it isn't any of all of that, even when the old Adam creeps up like he does every single day again with the language of have to and the language of I hate my enemy, we get to receive from Christ once again. his cheek turned as you slap out against one of the least of these. And he turns it for you so that you might be forgiven. And he turns it for you so that you might in turn turn it for your neighbor so that he too might know Christ's forgiveness. That is the mercy of the Father seen in the Son and now seen in you. For you are sons of the Most High. So be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. For in Christ, what else could you do? In the name of Jesus.